Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thanks to our sponsor, Villanova University. Villanova's Center for Church Management and Business Ethics offers educational programs for individuals in church leadership and administrative roles who are seeking to become better stewards of church resources by improving their business and management skills. Learn more at villanova.edu.
Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Kerry Weber.
And we are back. You are listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. I'm Kerry Weber, along with Father Matt Malone. We're talking with Rudy Lopez about workers' rights, about community organizing, about the minimum wage. And we welcome your calls on the topic. You can call in at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. Now, Rudy, we have some callers calling in, so we'll go to one of their questions. We have Richard.
From Kansas City.
From Kansas City calling in.
Great, thank you.
Hello, Richard. Welcome to America This Week.
How can you justify paying somebody unskilled labor $10 or more an hour? I don't get it. When a lot of labor or skilled labor jobs don't make more than that, or much more, you know, they're in about the $14 an hour range. I don't see that at all.
Okay, fairly straightforward question. Rudy, what do you think?
Yeah, and, you know, we get that sometimes that people will look at a job as low wage or minimum wage and say, well, that's the nature of what that job is. But I think that there's certainly an economic way of looking at it, which a lot of economic studies show that if you do pay people better wages, it's actually better for the economy and better for that business over the long term. We also see that it's not just an issue of economics. It's also an issue of what we believe is fairness and what is right.
Right.
So if we have a low-wage work or a job, do they need to make $20 an hour?
Right.
Maybe not. But certainly, I think we can agree on there needs to be a minimum that allows people to provide for their family. Where is that number? Is it 10? Is it 12? Is it 15? It's certainly not $7.25,
right,
because people
right.
just can't do that.
Right.
And so I would encourage people to look at it not just from economics, but this is where the interesting opportunity is here, where our economics can connect with our values. And are we having our values reflected in a way which we see the world, whether it's through an issue like minimum wage or many of the other economic issues that are really pressing.
Right. And I think
Richard,
you bring up,
thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you, Richard. And Rudy, I think you bring up this great point about that connection of the values and the economics, because, you know, I think in the story I was reading about Walmart, that it really was when they decided to kind of move in this direction of focusing on some of these values that it actually they hoped would have actual economic implications for them for the better.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of the other things to think about is how we're looking at corporations like Walmart, who, you know, last year made over $1 billion in profit.
Right.
And it's recognizing that they didn't do it on their own. It's people who are on the front lines who are contributing to that wealth. They're
right.
actually helping to generate that wealth. So shouldn't that be shared? We think so.
Now, how do you respond to folks who share your values and say, you know, we'd also like to empower these workers and make sure that they are justly compensated, but there might be a better way to do it than the minimum wage, say, you know, the earned income tax credit or something like that, that doesn't necessarily take jobs out of the economy. How do you respond to that?
Well, one thing I would also argue that increasing the minimum wage doesn't take jobs out either. In fact, it's something that helps to stabilize the economy and create, as you had mentioned earlier with Walmart, increase not only their profits, but raise the standard in which we're valuing work. The bottom, to me, the whole lens in which we look at this isn't just how are we maximizing overall efficiency and productivity for business, but how are we a country that's living our values and being able to demonstrate that we think the dignity of the worker, their ability to provide for their family, and them feeling good about coming to work every day is something that is worth providing and sharing in the profit that we're making together.
Sure.
I mean, I think we can take great examples from the recent words from our Holy Father, Pope Francis, where he calls it a very grave sin that employers not pay fair wages.
Right.
When he talks about the importance that for them to go to Mass, that they need to be asking questions like, what's my relationship to our employees? And I paint them off the books. Do I pay them a fair salary? I mean, these are all things that I think we can take a good example of the Holy Father.
Things we need to be thinking about. This is America This Week on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. And we are talking with Rudy Lopez, Executive Director of Interfaith Worker Justice, about a just economy and how we create a more just economy. And we are taking your calls at 888-322-CATHOLIC. And Anne from Las Vegas is on the line. Anne, welcome to America This Week.
Thank you.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Anne. What's your question?
Anne, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Anne, do you have a question?
I do. My question is, when I grew up, and I'm approaching senior citizen, our first job was a minimum wage, but that encouraged us to educate ourselves. And we speak about motivation for employers to pay more to their employees, but doesn't there also need to be a motivation for the workers to want to better themselves? Because we also have the trickle-up effect. You have people that have worked to get into other jobs that are maybe now making $18 an hour. What happens to all the people that have worked to better themselves, and where does it, you know, stop as far as the economy? How do we continue to make it fair to everyone, including all the people that have worked to better themselves to make a higher wage?
Okay, Anne, thank you very much for the call. Fair question, Rudy. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for the question, Anne. I think that you bring up a point of also another important value, and that's us wanting to do better and progress, which I think is a really important part of the equation as well. But I don't think that that has to mean that we make things so intolerable for people that they just want to get out of it. I don't think that it's the role of the employer to be able to put a ceiling, a wage ceiling on somebody that people have to struggle and break out through. And the other fact of the matter, in these industries, there is a baseline of employment that these are the jobs that people will have, and these are the jobs that people are going to have for longer than just transitionary period. You mentioned that you're approaching senior citizen age. There are many of these jobs, even in the fast food industry, that are occupied by senior citizens. And as you can, I'm sure, appreciate, the need for even senior citizens on a fixed income to be able to have a difference of maybe $12 or $15 an hour as opposed to $7 or $8 an hour. I mean, that's a difference that matters. So, you know, we're trying to encourage people to certainly get to progress, but there's other ways to do that than just suppressing wages so much that they feel the pinch that they have to get out of it.
Now, Rudy, when you talk about sort of working with a community, whether it's a low-income working group or whether it's senior citizens, you know, as a community organizer, how do you discern sort of the needs of this community? I imagine a lot of this happens at a grassroots level. And sort of what the community feels its own needs are versus what your hopes as an organizer are for that community and sometimes, you know, how they align or how they don't align.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. You know, I've been organizing for quite some time. And one of the things I found is that I don't actually have any power to empower anybody.
right.
They actually have that themselves. And all I am is somebody who helps them to ask some questions and provide them an opportunity for them to realize the own power that they have, for them to grow into and to come into their own power and be able to amplify their own voice. So a lot of what we need to do as organizers is go in and listen. We build relationships and help them assess their own situation. So in some way, we're coaches, and in other ways, we encourage and agitate. But it's all done with sort of, if I could go to Venn diagrams, it's sort of what their interest is as an individual, how that intersects with the community's interest. And me as an organizer, certainly I have my own interests and values that I'm coming with. So how does the interest and values of these three different pieces and possibly other circles that we put into the mix that intersection, that's the sweet spot. That's where we find the energy and opportunity, and that's where we find most success. So that's what we're looking for when we go into communities.
Well, you're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. And we are talking with Rudy Lopez, who is the newly appointed Executive Director of Interfaith Worker Justice. And we are talking about how to create a more just economy. What are your views about that, about the minimum wage, about economic empowerment? You can join the conversation at 888-322-8465. That's 888-322-8465. Rudy, I guess one of the questions that I have is, how do you engage in this kind of work, this kind of community organizing, you know, without and challenging the powers that be, either in government or in business, without demonizing them or scapegoating them? You know, how do you affect change playing by the rules of a Christian disciple, right, and not in the way that our secular politics necessarily does it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another great question. To me, I think there's a lot of a huge role for the faith community to play here. And I go back to our Holy Father as a great example. I do think that when we see injustice, we need to call it out and we need to be able to name it. That's important. I also think is that we can't be picking and choosing what side of the political aisle we choose to name it and which ones we don't, and also which different sector of our society. As much as there's challenges around corporate America, there's challenges in other segments of our society as well that we equally need to be able to bring attention to. But I also think that the way in which we bring people together is not just focusing on the issue itself, but getting back to the values connected to that issue. Because at the heart of all these things, if we just stay within our heads and we try to make an intellectual right. debate and argument, we can't get to the real heart of the matter. And I think once we get to the level of values, we find that we're much more aligned than we think we are. And I also think that's the opportunity for faith to really blossom.
Right.
That's
right.
the opportunity where we're really able to ask the deeper questions and ask for us to look at our what would Jesus do bracelets and to be able to really think about what are we called to do.
Right.
How are we called to act? What's our discipleship look like in a practical way? So those are, I think, are key opportunities and the things that I'm encouraged about working with IWJ.
Right. One of the programs that you have been working on that I think fits really well into what you're describing is this Fast from Fast Food during Lent. And this is a program that has invited people of all faiths to spend this time of Lent, these 40-ish days, abstaining from eating at fast food restaurants, sort of in solidarity with workers who deserve a living wage. I wonder if you could talk a bit about what motivated this program and how you hope it might affect change. Is it within the individual's fasting? Is it within the community? Is it both?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a program that or an effort that we're very excited about, one that we think brings some of these elements that you spoke of together. Essentially what it is, it's the name kind of says it. We're asking people, we're inviting people of all faiths to fast from fast food for the 40 days of Lent, abstain from consuming fast food, but not just the act of abstaining itself. I'm a big believer in fasting, and I've seen the power of fasting in my personal life.
Sure.
And to be able to fast without prayer is just going hungry. So we want to have people engage in reflective, deep prayer. And by doing that, we hope to be able to bring more attention to the issue, but also be walking hand in hand with the people who are affected, the people who are feeling the challenges around the low-wage work environments that they're in.
Right.
So we're inviting people to do so in prayer and through fasting and abstaining from fast food. But also an opportunity to increase the dialogue and awareness around this important issue. So all of your listeners, if you want to go to IWJ.org, I invite you to come and sign up. And you would get a daily prayer and meditation, a reflection in your inbox when you do, if you choose that you want that. You don't have to get
right. Now, if Rudy, if everybody went to that website right now, right, and signed up for this program, you know, how do you respond to the to, you know, what people might say, which is, you know, if everybody went there and signed up for this program, it would actually hurt these businesses and wind up hurting the employees who work there.
Yeah. So, and if I appreciate you bringing that up, because, you know, some people said, well, is this some type of boycott or something like that? In no way do we want that to happen.
Right.
First of all, if we did have everybody sign up to us, we think that the opposite would be true. Certainly the short-term piece to it is that less people would be consuming fast food. But the overall result is that the overwhelming effect through people, mass groups of people coming together and say, this is wrong. We want to be able to lift up the importance and the way in which we value workers, and they should be paid better. They should have better working conditions. We want to bring a light towards wage theft. We want to make sure that they can provide for their family. If that happens, the overall result is that we think that the workers and thus the industry itself will be better as a whole.
Okay.
So, and certainly, you know, I'm a big believer in the power of prayer happenings. And, you know, our Father in heaven hears us and is there with us. And for us to be able to come from all walks, I mean, the beauty of different Catholics and Christian, different Christian, other Christian groups, and Muslims and Jews to come together around a set of common values connected to an issue. I mean, that's very powerful, and
yeah,
that's what we're inviting folks to do.
Well, amen to that. And we have a couple of minutes left, Rudy. Just let our listeners know how we can find you and your work and what resources are out there for people who want to learn more.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I'll refer people to our website, and that's the best place, which is sort of a clearinghouse for all the different types of work we're doing, whether it's the fast from fast food or work on Walmart or the work on wage theft that we can continue to do. We also have a whole host of resources where people can learn more about the different issues. There's whole toolkits there that people can take to their parish, be able to use for discussion groups, and to be able to learn a little bit more about these issues. You know, so we understand that people may have different views in which they approach this and even different experiences. But what we hope to do is have people come and be able to begin a conversation, have a dialogue that we think can be grounded in what we believe is the right thing to do, and then we encourage people to ultimately act on that.
Okay. Well, Rudy Lopez is the newly appointed Executive Director of Interfaith Worker Justice. Rudy, thank you for your work. Thanks for being with us today.
No, thank you for inviting me. It was a real pleasure, and may God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.